Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to today's telephone conference of Allianz SE on the financial data of the second quarter 2016. For your information, this conference will be taped, and at this point I would like to hand over to Oliver Bäte. Yeah, good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining us this early in the morning for a telephone conference on the results of the second quarter and the first half year. Mr. Wemmer and myself will guide you through our results and will then be available for your questions. First of all, I would like to take a look at the first slide on page 2. Here in Munich, it's right now raining, and if you look at our figures, the weather fits our second quarter quite a bit. If you look at revenues, we had a result of 64.8 billion euros, which is approximately 4.7% below the previous year's quarter. And this is above all due to a reduction of revenues in life health, which doesn't reflect weakness in our business, but we'll talk about the fact that economic reality and accounting don't match 100% because we're changing our product portfolio into future-oriented products. So we agree with this decline in revenues and life health, actually. Now, when it comes to operating profit, we're close to 50% of our goal value. So we've reached the midpoint of the full-year outlook of 10.5 billion. The operating result was at 5.1 billion, and in that, we had a difficult quarter when it came to NatCat losses. In the second quarter, we had an effect of more than 500 million euros from NatCats and weather-related events after having hit by that for years. Now, we could see this as a negative from a financial point of view, but for our customers, we've done what we're supposed to do. We paid their losses, and we received good feedback from them for being quick, and I would like to thank our employees in Germany and France and the Benelux countries for their efforts, because there were thousands of losses in a short period of time, and as we can see, the weather doesn't get any better right now. So where do we stand now when it comes to the net income? So far we've reached approximately 50% of the previous year's income, 3.3 billion euros, and the surprise in it is that we've decided, or due to the requirements of accounting, already in the second quarter, Korea had been included as an impairment. We had announced in the first quarter that we would have a negative effect of around 350 million on our annual net income from Korea, and the figure fits exactly what we've done here. We've now recognized these, and we'll do that consistently also in the future if we have any impairments there. It's just an accounting view, so that will of course then have a positive effect in coming quarters. Against this backdrop, we're deeply convinced that this is just a typical volatility in the business we're seeing. We're managing Allianz not by quarterly outlooks, but over long-term view, with a long-term view, and that's why we stand by our operating profit outlook of 10.5 billion euros plus minus 500 million. We're convinced that we can reach this figure, and I would also like to mention that we're working hard on remaining a reliable and strongly capitalized partner in our industry and for our customers. And with a Solvency II ratio of 186%, which, by the way, doesn't include the planned sale of Korea, otherwise figures would even be stronger. But nevertheless, this is a very strong result because we are in a very difficult economic environment with an all-time low when it comes to interest rates. So if against such an interest rate background you can post such a strong solvency, then this is quite a remarkable feat, and also important then compared to other institutions, Allianz shows that Allianz handles the Solvency II ratios quite conservatively. Ladies and gentlemen, that's it from my side for the introductory remarks, and I'll now hand over to Mr. Wemmer, and we'll look then forward to your questions later on. Yeah, good morning also from my side, and welcome to the call. I will guide you through some important pages of the presentation so that we have enough time left afterwards for your questions. And I would like to start on page three. Just a short reminder, we use the possibility not to publish an official first and third quarter any longer, so the half year result is the first interim report that will also be documented with financial interim statement, and that is why we'll sum up the half year figures. I think Mr. Bäte has said everything that's necessary regarding that. I won't talk about revenues, he's already mentioned that. Operating profit, 5.1 billion, that is the 49% of our objective, and net income compared to the previous year, 3.3 billion minus 14.5% over the 6 months, mainly due to the 350 million impairments from Korea and reclassification costs, plus some share impairments, write-offs due to the Brexit volatility. I'll explain this in more detail later on. Our combined ratio is at 94.9%, very good half year combined ratio, but highly volatile. The picture, we had a first quarter that was almost free of nat gas, and in the second quarter then we had the natural catastrophes of the first quarter basically included also in the second, so that over the half year we come up with a pretty normal natural catastrophe level. What is really positive is the new business margin of life and health. In spite of the difficult interest rate environment, we can see the progress we've made, which we want to reach through a strategic change in the mix. Asset management goes through a stabilization phase, and if you look at the figures, in the operating profit in the second quarter was higher than the first one, and the cost income ratio of PIMCO in the second quarter, 2 percentage points below the first quarter. Now I would like to get into the details of the second quarter, and that is on page five. What I just explained to you in our strategic focus, we focused this quarter on life and health, then the stabilization of asset management, and P&C was coined by large one-off losses. And that is what you can see on the development of the operating profit. So we're 17% below the previous year, and I believe that is normal volatility for the largest P&C insurer in the world. When it comes to revenues and absolute figures, we were also in a minus, had a minus also in the second quarter, but internal growth was at plus 0.4% if we adjust for foreign exchange rate fluctuations and take out any sales and acquisitions. And in life with our new business strategy, the distance to the old business volume has been reduced, so we're improving not just in the mix, but also when it comes to volumes. So the strategy is truly working in all aspects. Now looking at the balance sheet, I think in the difficult year 2016, with the first quarter with a lot of volatilities and turbulences on the stock exchanges, the second quarter then with the announcement of the Brexit, first the referendum announcement, a lot of skepticism, then optimism, and in the end the skeptics were proven right, so we had to master a high degree of volatility. That is why we focus on the fact that our Solvency II ratio at the end of the quarter should remain undamaged by all these changes. And in the second quarter, we were able to keep the 186 unchanged. And you can also see in the shareholders' equity that our figure has remained unchanged compared to the first quarter. That is on page 7. Our unrealized gains and losses have increased, which is, of course, due to the bond investments. When the ECB buys corporate bonds, that has two effects. First of all, the base interest rates decline further. The euro swap curves have reached a historic low, but also the credit spreads, the second yardstick for risk in the investment in the bond market, has reached a historic low, and that both these let the unrealized gains increase, and our unrealized gains on equities have remained unchanged, but the Brexit volatility led to a lot of turbulence on the stock markets. So even though the DAX hadn't moved that much towards the end of the quarter, different securities had gone up or down strongly, and those going down we had to write off according to the rules, and those going up don't have any effect on our profit and loss statement. That's why in the second quarter we had close to $1 billion write-offs gross on equities. Some of that was due in the life health segment, and outside the life health segment it also had an effect on additional losses. And I don't think we need to get into the details of the solvency movement, and I'd rather spend more time on the P&C segment. On page 11, here you see growth in the P&C segment, so the underlying growth in the second quarter, our internal growth, increased to net 3.7%, which is above the first quarter, and that is strong organic growth for us. And if you look in detail which countries contributed to that, then amongst the large countries we have France and Germany as the pillars of growth, and then we have the mid-sized ones, Allianz Worldwide Partners, Turkey also, and amongst the smaller countries, Argentina stands out, where we are also correcting, of course, and through price increases, we have to make up for losses of the previous years. Now, markets in which the prices are significantly weaker, you can see that our volumes aren't increasing there. Amongst those countries, we have Italy, that is above all due to reductions in motor business, but also in credit insurance and corporate business. We have to be cautious in underwriting, because not all the prices promise profit later on. On page 13, you can see the development of our combined ratio. So that is where the analysts had hoped for a better figure for the second quarter. But in addition to the $500 million for nat cats and natural catastrophes in the second quarter, here we're talking about the spring and summer weather-related events, which we all experienced ourselves in Germany, France, Belgium, and the Netherlands, but also hailstorms in Texas, and we also shouldn't forget the large wildfires in Canada. In addition to this, we had a heightened frequency of major claims in Germany, France, and also at AGCS, and in addition to this, under the category of natural catastrophe, only major events are amassed. And there, in addition to this, we had a huge number of small weather-related incidents. So you could add up to 2 percentage points to the 4.4% of natural catastrophe-related events, and that leads then to the increase in our loss ratio in the second quarter, and therefore it doesn't give us reason for concern, but we hope it will just normalize, because it's in a normal development. On page 15, you can see the individual developments per country. That is something you can look into yourselves. And on page 17, we will then see that in spite of the difficult capital market conditions also are reinvestment yield in the second quarter. We've been able to keep that at 2.1%, and of course, it's a figure that will come even further under pressure because the credit spreads and interest rates point further down in July and August. Let me now come to our life and health business on page 19. You can see the new business mix. That is the favorite picture of the management when it comes to the second quarter, because we truly sharpen the focus in our new business mix, looking at which products we can sell under these conditions. And if you look at the item of capital efficient products on the left hand side, that is the main point. And the two main representatives of this category are Perspektive in Germany, with the different variants of the product, and our fixed index annuity business in the United States. These are the main drivers of the capital efficient product category. And in both countries, you can also see on the right hand side that we haven't just gone into the right direction when it comes to our mix, but also when it comes to our new business volume, that has strongly recovered. And with the reclassification of Korea, or the restructuring of Korea and the reclassification from an operating to non-operating business, because it's now held for sale, and we hope that the sale will be realized of next month, Korea is no longer included in the operating figures and therefore also no longer represented in the new business. Now, our operating profit in life health has slightly increased, as you can see on page 21. That is above all due to the investment margin. The other figures have basically set itself off. So in the second quarter of 2015, we had a loss of Korea for Korea of 94 million that was recognized, and now we have an operating profit in the second quarter of 1 billion, and against the current interest rate environment, this is quite a good figure actually. Page 23, the value of new business by the increase of the new business margin, the first success is in when it comes to volume also. The value of new business has developed quite well, and I think especially at a time when the life segment is under close scrutiny and everyone is afraid that life insurers aren't fit as profit makers for shareholders, neither nor as protectors and securers of the public, I think we proved that quite the contrary is true, and that our business is sound and healthy. Page 25 is the page that shows that we are fully able to pay our guarantees and still have enough of a profit margin, so that there is also something left for the shareholders. That brings me to the asset management business. Assets under management increased by 5.2%. Here we had support by the dollar exchange rate, which made a little jump towards the end of the quarter, but also the lower interest rates led to higher values of the bonds. And on the other, we have the first integration of our ROGE acquisition of the 30 billion under management that we had there, that was taken into our books at the beginning of July. And on page 29, you see the revenues due to in asset management due to the outflows at PIMCO and in the last quarters, and also in the second quarter, outflows at PIMCO were 18 billion. So, but we stick to our statement that for the second half of the year 2016, we expect a flat development for PIMCO, that is to say, neutral sum of outflows and inflows, approximately. Fee income at PIMCO therefore has declined as a consequence of these outflows, but if you look at page 31 with 498 million operating profit, our result in the asset segment, asset management segment, is 8% higher than in the first half of the year, and PIMCO contributed to this as the cost income ratio has improved by 2 percentage points compared to the first quarter. Allianz Global Investors also kept its the previous year result, and at AGI we're of course always dependent on the stock markets, as we're not investing that much in fixed income here, but rather into active equities investments. So we would expect that in the current months we will be able to generate higher income from the movements on the stock exchanges. Now, our corporate segment has remained pretty much unchanged. There's nothing of major importance that should be reported here, which brings me to the translation from the operating results to our net income. As I said, close to 2.4 billion was the operating profit in the second quarter. The realized gains lower than in the previous year. Impairments of 383 million need to be split up into two categories: what comes from the stock markets and what is the impairment due to Korea. And that's a little difficult from a technical point of view. The 352 million in losses of Korea are spread out in impairments according to IFRS rules and the reclassification, and that then overall gives us a shareholders' net income of 1 billion. That is half of what we had in the previous year, but as you have seen over the course of the half year, we're pretty close to the 50% value of the previous year, and therefore we're optimistic that the second half year will enable us to link up to the successes of the previous years. Page 37 then gives you the overview of where we want to end in 2018, and this outlook has remained unchanged. And at this point I would like to state that in the 6 month results we have an ROE, we reached an ROE of 12%, 6% on, and for the year then 12%, which brings us to the upper end of our of most of the large financial institutions, and therefore I believe we can say that Allianz, even in a weak quarter, is still a highly profitable company. I think that brings me to the end of my presentations, and we can now come to the questions. Yeah, thank you very much, Mr. Wemmer, and now we're looking forward to your questions, ladies and gentlemen.
If you want to ask a question, please press the asterisk and number one on your telephone. Please make sure that your mute is deactivated so that the signal can reach us. So while you ask your question, please make sure that your line needs to be open and can be muted only after you want to go to the next, after we go to the next person asking a question. If you find that your question has been answered already, you can delete it by star 2. Please press asterisk 1 in order to ask a question. Now, we'd like to wait a second in order to give all participants to signal out their question. Now we were going to have our first question, Mr. Michael Fleming, Börsenzeitung. Yes, good morning, Mr. Bethe, Mr. Wemmer. I've got four questions about two complexes. First of all, geopolitical situation, and secondly, PIMCO. So the general condition in Turkey, you grew strongly in P&C in the first half year. How do you assess the development in this country, both generally, politically, and also with regard to the effects on Allianz? And my second question about geopolitics If you allow me to say, there's this hustle and bustle out there that is increasing. There's a lot of confusion and trouble out there. So how is Allianz able to get ready for this situation? Are there any principal considerations, or do you have to react ad hoc? Mr. Pimko, Mr. Wemmer, you mentioned Pimko, that so the second quarter was 80 billion euros. The first quarter was only 10 billion euros. That was faster. So why do you believe that you're going to be flatter in the second half year? And second question, you said that the cost income ratio is 62%. Do you still go to the target of going below 60%, and do the measures taken, are they sufficient, or would you have to rearrange that? Mr. Flemish, thank you very much for your questions. Let me take the first two questions, and then Mr. Wemmer will answer the other questions. Further to Turkey, of course, we're pursuing, as a market leader, we're pursuing the situation in Turkey quite intensively, because we have a lot of employees and customers in this country. That's why it's quite important for us. And during this crisis that we had lately, we made sure that our employees were secure and safe, and that we can support our customers. And it wasn't that easy, because we're in Istanbul, where we had our headquarters, that the roads were closed, and we can now say that all employees are fine and are going to work every day. Secondly, we were encountering different damages and losses with regard to, and then we were able to regulate that, and we're focused on particular effects and efforts. So that's most important what we can do. As regards business, so we rely on the fact that the company knows that the government needs to do a lot in order to make sure that the economy is going on. The economic growth was attained for 3%. Currently, we're not able to see the consequences. And we had a lot of course, of this failed coup, and also there's also a shock in with regard to confidence is seen here. That's what we saw in terms of ratings. And we should not always talk into the negative side. We should make sure that we help the country as far as possible economically, and helping the people in the country. There are 80 million people living, want to continue living a normal life, and we're going to help these people. So the economic climate and investment activities is quite important. Turkey is now instructed to have foreign direct investments. That means investment and capital to come from outside. And due to the change of the assessment of the solvency by Standard & Poor's, it's not going to be so easy for the government, and they have to clearly state how they want to ensure that further investments will be made into the country. As regards our business, we feel very well positioned in the country. And also after the last few weeks, we have no reason to believe that there are going to be massive disruptions coming up. No, the opposite is the case. We are quite solidly positioned in this competitive environment in terms of the balance sheet, but also in terms of our operational abilities in the country, and which is the most important element. The second question, you talked about the topic like trouble in the world. That is true. When we met last year about our Capital Market Day, hardly anyone reckoned with Brexit, and so no one would see that we would see the attacks to see in Europe all the way coming to Munich, and also this military coup in the military in Turkey. But that's the reality we have to face. What does that mean for Allianz? Most importantly, it should not be questioned about the solidity of the Allianz. There shouldn't be any question whether we will be able to fulfill our obligations, and Mr. Wemmer nicely described it before. We make sure that our solvency is strong and stays strong. And that's why we consistently decide to leave business and exit the life portfolio in Korea, or the portfolio in Taiwan, where the profitability is not secured on a sustainable basis, where we have to make sure that the substance of Allianz is not endangered. And so solvency volatility is to be reduced, one of the key targets. And of course, versus the capital market, we are exposed, and that's why we are exposed very strongly exposed to interest changes. That means longer interest periods. That's why we have to get out of that interest risk. And like Mr. Wemmer just described very nicely, the enormous progress we made we see in short term, should not forget that 500 billion euros we have life reserves in our balance sheet that we're moving, and that is what we're focusing on. So solidity is of high importance and to be less susceptible for fluctuations and to be there for our customers. There's a reason why we said with our new renewal agenda, the most important thing is to keep our promise towards our customers, not only towards our shareholders and employees. That means that particularly in these crises, it is shown that people are more and more worried about their future, and there's much more worries. And during these times, they need to know with Allianz, I'm safe and fine. So when it comes to Mr. Finko, let me just probe Mr. Bäte just quickly. Your answer with regard to solidity sounded as if you were reacting on a financial crisis and not on a political crisis. So the assumption is that nationalism is increasing. Does that require a different answer, or would that be sufficient? I can't say. First of all, we see this reverse transaction of the globalization, and this is both, you know, globally thinking, so trading business is difficult, but as an insurer, we are working in more than 60 countries, and we're strongly located, and so that's why we are strongly operating in these local communities. And we've been operating in difficult environments. Hungary, for example, it's not easy to move there. Now, in Turkey, where we're quite strong, we're also strong in other countries that have seen local crisis. And for us, it might sound strange, but it's our daily business. We've been working for Western Africa for more than 100 years. We're growing the two digits. The two-digit numbers have never been problems with any governmental turmoils, and we've always been there for our customers. So we believe this volatility is normal, but I think the internet and the way how social media works, that goes into our emotional world like a tsunami. But Allianz has been living in this world for 126 years and has been doing so quite successfully. Mr. Fleming, PIMCO. Yes, the 18 billion are not confusing us, and because when we communicated the first quarter in May, I basically knew this figure because the 18 billion is structured in 17 billion coming from an individual customer who pulled out his money earlier because he needed this money urgently for other transactions. And the remainder of the quarter, across all customers, there's 1 billion of inflows and outflows, which is actually a very good quarterly result. And it also shows that we're on track. The inflows are very stable, and they've been very stable during the past few months, and that means if the outflows will go into the right direction, I believe, then the zero will be tangible. July we see plus one, and that's why I believe the whole picture looks quite realistic. And the cost-income ratio 62%. Yeah, cost-income ratio 62%, that's right. In reduction of costs of the non-HR costs, we made major progress, and you can see on the chart where you can see the non-personal item, which is the reduction of the non-HR costs, and PIMCO continued even in June to make an announcement for a smaller mid-sized HR reduction, which will be reflected positively in the third quarter, and that's why in the cost-income ratio, we're moving into the right direction. We still have made provisions for the specific retention program that still makes 0.9% in cost-income ratio of PIMCO. That means if you exclude that, PIMCO is 61.1 cost-income ratio. That means our target of 60 is coming closer again. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, now we will take our next question. Stefan Weyer from DGR DPA. Good morning, Mr. Bäte, Mr. Wemmer. I've got three more questions. Analysts expect in operating result this year? 10.8 billion, that is at least the assessment of the past few days and the estimate. You're confident for 10.5, which is in the middle. 7, is 10.8 still realistic? Should anything run really nicely in order to reach that? What is your assessment? Then further to NatCat, can you say more precisely how much cost what? I mean, the floods in Europe were the biggest loss, they said Hannover. They said that the forest fires and the campfires provided the biggest loss by far in Canada. It'd be great if you could specify a few figures. And also further to your excess capital. What do you want to do? So currently you're removing business, and would you have further acquisitions this year? Do you have any further acquisitions, or can shareholders get ready for a later, for a larger stock repurchase and buyback? The 10.8 billion operating profit, that is the estimate of the analyst, and definitely this is going to be influenced by the second quarter. This figure was not available yesterday. And the question is it still achievable? The range is unchanged, we believe, and like a quarter can be quite weak, a quarter can also be quite good. And but I believe using the 10.5 and going as the direction and closing the year with 10.5, in light of all the changes and the corrections that we're going to make, this is would still be a nice result. And we also had individual losses, which came rather as a surprise. The biggest losses in the quarter, that is, first of all, as an individual loss, there's a main hailstorm in Texas. That was a major storm there. And I forgot to mention that. And we also had a small earthquake in Japan, which only cost us 20 million. And there was also the storm in Europe end of May, which amounted to 100 million euros, big and the Alberta forest fires, 40 million, and further storms in June in Germany, 50, and in Benelux, another storm for 17, 18 million plus. A large number of smaller local floods and thunderstorms, which are not identified as NatCats, which cost 10 million at one particular location at one weekend, but we wouldn't call it a NatCat. We would just call it an expensive weekend. And we are hit by more frequency. I think our external reinsurance companies have not taken over anything of that. And did you mention the hailstorm amount? Yes, for the half year it was 100. That was quite exotic because the same place in Texas was hit in March and in April, and so we were sharing half of that 100. And that was quite unusual that such a severe hailstorm would hit the same place in short distance. So the U.S. industry had to pay $1 billion for this hailstorm. That was a bigger hailstorm.
Now the next question.
Oh,
sorry. We have, Mr. Valero had a third question. If we could answer that, that was about acquisitions and we continue our strategy. We take good looks around whether there are any fitting consolidation opportunities for us and to especially build up our P&C units. There are certain preconditions. Is it a strategic fit? Do we have the management team to lead this? Is it economically viable? And then if you, and then future, in the near future, there will certainly be some opportunities. There's consolidation of the asset management industry, and we're taking close looks at this. But we have to have the right fit, and if that is the case, we will commit ourselves. And if we don't buy anything, that was your second question regarding capital, regarding the analyst question, which will come also this afternoon, what we will do with the surplus capital. Well, Mr. Diekmann and Mr. Wemmer 2.5 years ago communicated that we have around 1 billion gross that we collect per year for M&As, and if we don't seize the capital, we will give it, hand it back to our shareholders next year at the latest. There are different options for this, for example, a share buyback. That is what we promised, and if we don't invest, then we will keep our opportunities. And there are both options, also a higher dividend would be possible. Well, we don't want to give any commitment on the method, but Mr. Wemmer is the expert for this, so hand over to him. Yeah, well, that depends on the height of the figure in the end. And another question, how large is the sum in your coffers, Mr. Wemmer? Well, I think it's close to close to 3 billion. Okay, thank you, Mr. Weyer. And back to the moderator. Thank you. Our next question is from the Wall Street Journal, Elaine Wissen. Good morning, gentlemen. I have another question on the forecast. Did I understand you correctly before that you were happy to reach the 10.5 billion? And then I would like to ask two questions regarding PIMCO. You have exchanged the management there, and so you don't just want to continue the way it's done so far, otherwise the old management could have stayed. So what will change there exactly? And then also the outflows at PIMCO. So I noted 19 billion, not 18, as was stated before. Could you specify that, please? And the 17 billion, could you tell me yourself who's withdrawn that? And then when it comes to the Brexit, I still remember the last call when you said, well, it will come, we'll see what comes. And then the decision was very tight, and even though many were surprised, the service had been closed, so the polls had been closed, so they have to say you weren't prepared enough, especially if you look at the write-offs on equities afterwards. Okay, Mr. Lemma answering. I think the 10.5 billion certainly is a good base value for our expectations, and if it gets better than that, it's better. But the 10.5 is the midpoint of our outlook, and we stick to that and don't change it. I'll hand over let me answer the Brexit question first. I believe we've prepared well for Brexit, which is what you can see in our unchanged solvency ratio. We hedged positions where we were afraid that in case of a negative Brexit decision, we could be affected. So all open pound sterling positions and other currency balance sheets were hedged. Certain stock packages were hedged. And also certain credit spread movements were hedged before. Therefore, we weren't affected that much by in our balance sheet. Also, the value of our stock portfolio overall has developed quite well in the second quarter. But as I said before, in accounting, you need to, there is a difference. If stock prices drop 20% or the stock had an impairment before, you have to make further write-offs. And these write-offs are a realization, even though you still keep the stocks. And we could have set this off by selling the other shares that had risen in June to show a nice net income, but that wouldn't have been economical because we assume that the stock recovery will continue after the Brexit turbulences. That's why we didn't take any cosmetics to improve our net income in the second quarter, but we've taken the economically viable decision. And I believe if you invest in equities, you shouldn't just look at quarterly cosmetics, but try to generate the long-term profit which we need both for our customers and for our shareholders. Now, regarding the PIMCO change, I'll hand over to Mr. Bethe. Yeah, thank you very much, Mr. Wemmer. The process is important. PIMCO is being led by 60 partners, and the partners together went into a process together with us, and the change of leadership, the initiative clearly came from the partners. And looking at the future strategy of the company regarding more alternative investments, more internationalization, the plan was also to have a younger leadership time. Mr. Hutch had a long, very successful career at PIMCO, and he himself said it was time for a change, to clearly state this. And we have a lot of trust, and it's a different transition period. So if after 30 years the founder leaves the company overnight, it's not just an economic difficulty for such a company, but also from an emotional point of view. And after phase of stabilization, it's the right consequence to consider together with us what the new strategy will look like, what kinds of abilities you need, and that we now have a new CEO that was based on a unanimous vote of the partner group, and we're glad that we have him on board now, and now the team is about updating the strategy and consistently introducing it and implementing it. There was nothing disruptive about this. It was planned in the true spirit of partnership, and now we have to work on this. And what's clear, ladies and gentlemen, is that not just in life insurance, but also in the asset management business, the business foundations have shifted fundamentally due to the interest rate manipulations of the central banks. We get a lot of cost pressure. We have enormous shifts in the investment behavior, not just towards passive investments, but towards other investments, and we will be able to successfully develop further. But for that, we need the right team, and Mr. Roman is there, Manny Roman is there too, and he has the right team, and now we can get started. Back to Mr. Wemmer. Well, regarding the outflows, if you look at page 27, we have 19 billion overall in the asset management segment, 1 billion outflow at AGI and 18 at PIMCO. And the 18 at PIMCO are then 17 for one single customer and one for another customer. And I unfortunately can't tell you the name of this single customer. I know the name, but I can't tell. Okay, thank you very much. Okay, I hope that answers all your questions. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, just to remind you, press asterisk 1 to ask a question. We'll now accept the next question, Oliver Suess of Bloomberg. Thank you very much. Good morning. Some smaller questions. First of all, Mr. Wemmer, you said the sale of Korea would probably be realized over the next month, and also in the press statement, everything is a little, the wording is a little vague, so could it also be that it doesn't come to a sale? And then the second question I have regarding PIMCO. Now, if you look at all the facts you mentioned for the second half year, if you sum them up on the cost side, so maybe higher performance fees, reduction of costs, will that be sufficient to get under the 60%, or will you have to do more for this? And then regarding foreign business, in March or April, there was a report that Allianz was shortly before selling portfolios in Italy. Could you say something about this? And in India, there's also the extension of the joint venture that's been outstanding. for some months. So what is the current status there? And overall, are there further portfolio adaptations that will be coming up? And the final point then, Mr. Buloff, AXA just 2 days ago said regarding M&As, the prices were still very high and it sounded difficult to take further acquisitions. What gives reason for your slightly larger optimism, which I heard from your words? Okay, Mr. Suess, I'll start. That's Mr. Bäte. Well, it depends. It's certainly right what Mr. Buber said, that due to the fact that a lot of money goes into equities because alternative investments aren't that attractive, that many companies are quite expensive. But on the other side, through the pressure also from capital investors, through the pressure of Solvency II, especially in Europe, and through the strong technological pressures towards transitions with the necessary investments for digitalization, one or the other competitor is struggling with this, and they can either withstand that or they can look for a strategic partner to help. And that is not just the case in Europe, but also in the other countries, that the minimum requirements regarding scale do decrease. Now, it's not a question of whether this will happen over the next weeks, but over the next years, we assume that there will be a consolidation. If you just look at the number of insurance companies in our country, there will certainly be some kind of consolidation. The second topic you talked about, India. India is a highly attractive market for us, and since we started in 2001 with budget in the country, we've developed quite well, but we've had a highly intensive discussion with our partner how the joint venture should be led in the future, because there's the India control clause. So we've invested a lot of capital into this company. How will this go on? And if we change our capital shareholding, if we go, for example, from 2 to 49%, at which prices will this happen? Because there have been some changes in regulations, and we believe the original contract we closed when we set up the joint venture still holds true. There are different opinions about this. That can also happen in a partnership, and then this needs to be clarified, because we're talking about huge amounts of money, and it's absolutely normal that both sides want to represent their interests. But nevertheless, the business as such is highly successful and will continue to invest in India. That's it from my side. I think you had a question on Italy. Could you repeat that? I can't remember it. Yeah, I can do that. In March or April, there was a report that Allianz planned to sell a portfolio. Thanks for the reminder. It was about the life insurance business, the existing one in Korea, and Mr. Lemon will talk a little more about this. And also in Taiwan, we sold a portfolio, and in other areas where it's possible, and we believe there could be better owners than Allianz in the management of certain long-term interest rate portfolios, we would like to do that. We've assessed that in several countries, also in Europe, but so far we haven't closed any business in any country, because that needs to make sense for both sides and also for our customers. In Italy, we looked at different options, but so far nothing specific has come up. And I would now like to hand over to Mr. Wemmer regarding PIMCO in Korea. Yeah, transactions in the insurance business of course always are subject to the approval of the regulators, and depending on the market, the processes have a different length and complexity. If we book Korea as held for sale, as an held for sale asset, then this classification means that we need to close the sale within 12 months. And as we've made this reclassification, you can see that we are convinced that there's a high likelihood of the sale. But of course it hasn't been closed yet, otherwise we would have booked it as a closed contract, and that is not the case, because you need regulatory approval for that. and the cost income ratio of PIMCO. You're right, in the second half of the year, there are always more performance fees, and I think we're well on our way towards the 60% cost income ratio. So no further measures are planned over the short term, apart from the fact that we want to do more business in the future, as Mr. Beta has just explained to you. Okay, Mr. Seuss, does that answer your questions? Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, our next question from Herbert Fromme of Süddeutsche Zeitung. Mr. Fromme, your line is open. Yeah, can you hear me? Can you hear me? So the PNC, do you want to keep the, did you take any decisions here to keep the combined ratio and then combined ratio up by six percentage points? What is it due to your low growth in AGCS? There seems to be a decline in growth. So could you say whether you will be withdrawing from markets there? And then finally, life insurance in Germany, the increase in operating profit. How can I explain this to my readers? Why is that the case? And you talked about European markets where you consider about selling portfolios. Germany seems to be a little immune. We don't even consider that. So why is Germany immune to this? And why aren't there any portfolios that could be sold? And yeah, those were my questions.
Yeah, very precise, Mr. Former. So the handling accord of 6.5 percentage point definitely is quite high for the individual quarter. Versus previous years, we started to distribute our actuarial revenues more evenly throughout the year. Allianz has always been going towards the end year, in the third of the fourth quarter, where the big amounts came in. Now we distributed it more evenly, and if you look at the previous year comparison, we had 165 follow-up reserves, the Fireman's Fund. The U.S. is zero in the second quarter, so if you take 165 million from minus to plus, then you would have a much higher runoff ratio. And we had a lot of positive individual losses and property that were closed in the second quarter, and that's why there was a lot of runoff ratio. But the quota is definitely not a forecast for being consistent and permanent, but the quota is going to normalize throughout the year. But it will be definitely higher than the 3% that we always kept saying before for the year. In total, the net amount you calculated right, it's 0.6% up. We invested into costs and into the renewal agenda, you should not forget, apart from that. And we knew early this year which markets are going to become weaker, that credit insurers and AGCS. However, we expected a quicker recovery in Latin America. So that's why in our calculations, actually we proceeded from the assumption that in the second quarter we would go towards zero change. Latin America, though, in particular the economic situation in Brazil, is still quite difficult, and that's why the recovery of the ratio is going to delay. AGCS does not come out of any particular line, but That will be offered individual products. If that means if customers have too aggressive ideas of the price or if the broker does expect too many aggressive prices, and that's why we would like to exit from that business. The increase in Allianz Life, that relates not too much to customers. That's why you don't have to report to customers. The comparable basis in the second quarter 2015 was a very low result. Because there were complicated differences between the local result authorizations and the calculations of the customers, and also towards the IFRS figures, which are influenced by the mark-to-market calculations of the derivatives, which do not play a role for customers in statutory provisions and calculations. Technically, in the second quarter last year, we had a minimum shareholder share, which is only one or two percentage points. We came back to the normal average, which is the share quota between shareholders and policyholders based on commercial law. That's why it's rather a technical effect rather than taking away money from our customers, if that was your question. Did I mention all points? The transfer of assets, of German assets. Yes. Why should we do that? Our return on equity is quite high in Germany. Our business is embedded into an overall balance sheet, and that's why we have a good solvency quota in the German business, which is very good. The new business mix is going to improve our strength of the balance sheet. That's why I would not know what should motivate us to question that or think about it. Thank you very much.
Ulrike Dauer, Dow Jones, please. Our next question. It must be a quick question and the last one.
Yes. I'm going to be short. Thank you very much. I've received a lot of answers anyway. Total losses to second quarter. I would like to see a number looking at the man-made claims, if you add that. What is the figure for the second quarter in total, if you consider everything and the previous year quarterly figure? Just briefly. Thank you.
We had 500 nat cat, and the previous year figure, we can look at the page. It was 122. That could be 122 plus. We have roughly 200 million more than in the previous year quarter in other man-made. The total man-made was identified being 4.5 percentage points. That is another absolute figure of 500. Do you want to, in relative to the previous year or total figures? 1 billion. Yes, 1 billion as total. 1 billion total, exactly. Even a bit less. A bit more in absolute figures. We don't think in absolute figures in combined ratios. It's rather 1.2 totally, and last year was 500-600. More or less double the amount on a quarterly basis. On a quarterly basis.
Super. Thank you very much. We have one more question.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Dauer. We take now the last question.
Jonathan Gold, Reuters.
Yes, good morning for giving me the chance to ask a question. I'd like to talk about asset management just briefly. Mrs. Hunt mentioned in
newspaper interview that she expects to be more involved with asset management in the future. In the past, Allianz said that PIMCO, for example, is more successful because Allianz had this arm's length relationship. I just wanted to ask, do we have any new limits that have been defined between Allianz and PIMCO? And what are the instructions for Mrs. Hunt and the requirements, and also for Mr. Roman? Roman, yes. Thank you very much, Mr. Gold, about the question. I think this is a misunderstanding. So it's all about more intensive cooperation, and it's not like we want to intervene into the daily business of PIMCO. Thank you for giving me the chance to clarify that. And of course, there are a lot of examples that are able to be analyzed. First of all, when Easy Life puts on new products, our asset managers are systematically involved into the definition of the funds, which are made available for our customers. And PIMCO, during the past 18 months, has played a more and more important role, not only in providing the funds, but also in the design of the product. That means a more intensive cooperation means that we use the know-how more intensively for PIMCO for structuring our life insurance product. We're working closer for the solution for institutional customers that have to finance pensions. For example, an international group, probably in Germany, is searching for a life insurance solution and might search for a fund solution because of a different statutory environment. And that's why across different companies, and we'd like to work more closely together. PIMCO agrees because in Europe, we can create a lot of access to business, and we can create a lot of business areas. So the banking sector in Europe is going to restructure further, so we have to take care of the non-performing loans, and we have better access to customers for doing this together is better than doing this individually. But of course, we're not going to intervene into the business and the daily business and how to manage a fund. And that was not meant by that. Hopefully I was able to clarify that question. Yes, thank you very much. So the terror attacks, did you have damages, any losses due to terror attacks lately? Just a minimal share through the terror pool in Belgium in the events at the Belgian airport. Just a few minor things in Turkey where customers helped us really generously, but it was not material so far. Does that help? All right. So thank you very much for your attention, and next time we're going to have sunshine again in Munich. Thank you very much. Goodbye. Thank you very much for taking part, and have a nice day. Goodbye.